This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let's try to be honest, but also look at the fact that we have, 31 years from the time the story appeared and more or less disappeared, till it comes out again through the efforts of Stanton Friedman. The changes in society, pop culture, the Beatles, everything that's happened, sci-fi, Star Trek, from 1947 to the late 1970s, any testimony from anyone, however honest, is going to be really, really tainted at this point.
I agree. Yeah. There's so many things that that are adding into that, especially if this has reared its ugly head and then people start looking at it, they'll start drawing parallels to many different things. You know, there was a ton of literature that was put out. As you mentioned before, there's a lot of books. Why in the world would Greg Lawson want to come in and write another book and be destroyed in the media by saying, oh, you don't know what the hell you're talking about? I sit and look at it, and especially from the forensic statement analysis side of it, when they were interviewing, for instance, they were interviewing Professor Moore, and it goes right along with what you're suggesting as far as this influence. They say to Professor Moore, who was one of the scientists that was doing the Mogul balloons, he says, you're familiar with the popular literature about various crash sites. There's one crash site, two crash sites, three crash sites, and all that craziness. Right there, that is a technique that an interviewer or a cross-examiner will use to manipulate your answer. Because if you answer other than what he is going to espouse, it will make you look like you're crazy as well. So he calls these people's beliefs or these people's opinions or their research craziness. This is a statement technique that puts the witness, in this case Professor Moore, into a position of intimidation by making him feel foolish if he disagrees. So, you know, these are the techniques that the Air Force was using on their witnesses. It's amazing. You read whatever they put in the transcripts, because they didn't do the transcripts fully, but you read what they put in the transcripts, and there will be a bomb dropped by the witness, and they never follow up a question about it. When they were interviewing Sheridan Cabot, his wife was there in the interview. And so they're talking about the memory medal, and he doesn't remember anything about that. And his wife pops in and says, well, you remember Jesse was over here for a barbecue and he took a piece of that stuff and stuck it in the fire and it wouldn't catch on fire. And the Air Force investigator just glazes over that and just keeps along his line of questioning, never even addresses the fact that Jesse Marcel, months later, is walking around with a piece of, you know, whatever this material is in his pocket, and pulls it out at a barbecue and sticks it in. I mean, it was just insane. I'm sitting there reading this, just going, what were these Air Force people doing? It can't be through incompetence. It has to be through design. They had to have just had a focus on the target of what they wanted to say and were not going to be distracted at all from that, and we're going to go straight there.
Well, my question is, how would they even have this information? Because one of the things that Congressman Schiff, his office, was told was that records from that time period at the Roswell Army Air Force Base, Army Air Base, from what was it, 1945 to 1950, oh, it's gone. It is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
How convenient.
Yeah, it was shut down. The base was shut down, and whatever the records were shipped off, or if they weren't important, they obviously were destroyed in some way or got lost. People think it's kind of ridiculous that these things could get lost because there's so many steps, there's so many practices and policies and procedures in place to to track this stuff and to save this stuff that it just disappears. But I do know, after working in the government for almost 40 years, that does happen. This stuff does just get misfiled or misplaced, and you know, it was supposed to be filed in Freedom of Information Act, so let's go ahead and put it in F file, but somebody comes along and looks at it and goes, well, that's really actually Intel, so let's put it in Intel. And it's gone, and you try to find it. I have no clue where it is. So
we're talking here about bureaucracy.
Oh, my God. Massive, thick bureaucracy.
So is massive, thick bureaucracy a reason why these records all get screwed up? Not so much deliberate secrecy?
I think most of the time in those cases, it's a little bit of incompetency, but it's also when you have people that are indoctrinated and grow up in that environment. You know, you go in as a very low level person, either enlisted or officer, and you're indoctrinated in a certain way to do things, a bureaucratic way to do things. It causes real problems. When I was in the Navy, I was temporarily assigned duty as a master at arms because they had found out that I had been a police officer prior to my Navy service. So the master at arms, which is like the security forces for a Navy ship or base, they take temporary assigned duty people to do menial tasks for the security stuff. I get sent over there, and because of my level, I did some investigations there, and it's amazing. You know, like when I was there, I had to do an investigation. If I took if I interviewed you as a witness to a crime, I would have to write one, my interpretation of what you said. Okay, so Gene said this, and then I have to write your statement in first person, and then I have to write a third report of an overview of what everybody did. So I'm doing things three times. It was absolutely maddening, but that's the way it's done. And it's much more about case management than it is about gleaning new information and solving a crime. You want your packet to look perfect. The outcome is insignificant.
So I gather then that whatever it was that happened at Roswell, once it all left that area, that was it. I mean, you know, the people at the base there, I mean, they washed their hands. It's somebody else's problem now.
Right. Yeah. And it was the same thing with, when they did, the congressman did his request for information was let's get this thing wrapped up. And I would like to, hypothesize, if you were in charge of 20 investigators, and those investigators, jobs are to do, investigations of treason and of espionage and of top secret security clearance violations and those sorts of things. And then a congressman comes out and says, hey, I want to know about this flying saucer from 1947. And you think it's a goofy request. Are you going to send your best investigator over there to spend this time to investigate this? Or are you going to send somebody over there that's just going to kind of go through the steps or whatever? You know, it's about personnel assignment. It's about your intent on whether you believe this happened, whether it's important or not. You know, this wasn't a murder. This wasn't treason. It wasn't, you know, state secrets.
with Greg, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Greg Lawson wasn't about state secrets. Then again, if this all involved the landing, the crash of an interstellar spaceship, wouldn't that intrude on state secret territory?
Absolutely. But these guys that were assigned this task in the early 1990s did not believe that. In my opinion, they absolutely thought that this was a complete waste of time. And I say that because some of the YouTube videos that you can go and watch, some of these officers give press releases on, you know, discussing their Roswell report, give what's called gratification smiles. So after a very clever person or a person that thinks they're very clever spins a wonderful yarn, they will sit back, relax, and give a little smile. You can look at this, and it will be an inappropriate smile. And what I mean by that is go to YouTube and look up President Clinton's denial of Monica Lewinsky, right? The press release where he's standing up there pointing at the camera saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. You know, I need to get back to doing the work of the people. He's very straight and all business, and he steps back from the podium and he starts to turn and he can't help himself. Little smile as he walks away. And that behavior is a proven behavior. This isn't some conjecture that maybe sometimes people do this. No, this is proven, and you can see it time and time again in criminal investigations where murderers, sociopaths, rapists, all that stuff will do this. They will tell their story, and it sounds so convincing to themselves that they're just very pleased about it. And this little smile will come out, and they can't even help themselves from doing it because we're charging you with murder. I don't think there's any time in that engagement that you would need to smile. That tells me a whole lot about what was going on behind the Air Force's intent on just wrapping this thing up with a bow and going down the road.
So the people who did it didn't believe anything serious had really occurred. If something did, if it was a spaceship, that was at a different level of authority completely.
You would think. I don't believe that the gentleman that did this investigation, one of two things happened. I don't believe they believed it was an extraterrestrial craft, or I believe that they were told, this is above your pay grade, you need to make this go away, find a way to concoct a plausible explanation and make it go away. Mogul is a very plausible explanation. That would explain a ton of things. Me as an investigator, whenever I do, let's say, a paranormal investigation, let's stick on the UFO topic, I get called in to somebody who says that they get abducted on a regular basis and they experience things on the spaceship. They see things at their house. Time stops. They see alien craft and these lights and all this stuff. Well, I'm gonna conduct, you know, the who, what, when, where, why, and how inquiry, and then I'm going to go into a kind of a cross-examination a little bit as far as anything that contradicts itself. And then we're going to talk about that person's history as far as mental health history, physical history, and that sort of thing. And if it goes to that point, we need to go ahead and get some MRI stuff done to make sure that this person does not have any kind of anomalies, let's say scars on the brain that may induce some sort of epileptic type seizure, because sometimes that has a lot to do with lights and things like that that they can experience. So you eliminate the normal stuff first, then you go to ET. So you would naturally look at this event and say it's probably a crashed terrestrial vehicle that we, you know, like you suggested earlier, as far as some sort of experimental aircraft, that would make sense. Some sort of spy balloon that had a bunch of, you know, equipment attached to it and would spread out over, you know, 600 feet of area. That would make sense. So that was the entire intent of the investigation conducted by the Air Force, was to point toward Mogul and decide this is what it is. It wasn't to go in and glean new information to solve a mystery. It was not. And you can look at the way that they conducted business, and it was not an investigation. It was a review of the Mogul project and how it caused the Roswell incident.
Now, supposedly people like Kevin Randall could look at the history of Mogul and confirm there was no way that it would have been that particular object. So how come the Air Force couldn't figure that out? Assuming that's correct.
Well, it doesn't matter for the Air Force. They'll tell you what it is, and you just got to deal with it. You know, like I said, watch some of those videos that they have of their press release. You know, when he said, you know, clearly we had to do better than a snarky but true response. Well, they were snarky on their press release. They did gratification smiles on their press release. You know, when they say we're trying to make sure that we're open. No, you're not. You're covering up certain things. I don't know what you're covering up, but you are. It doesn't make much sense because everything from that era should have been declassed by then. We should be able to talk completely freely about that. The Soviets knew we were listening to them, so it wasn't that big of a secret. The secret was the mission, not necessarily the material they said as far as Mogul goes. So, you know, what are we talking about? You have General DeBose, who was a colonel at the time, later basically a deathbed confession, a statement that he made on a video several months prior to him dying. He admitted it was a cover story, the weather balloon part. You know, that's all we were to talk about and nothing else, and just forget it.
So they wouldn't even been involved or presented with what the real story is. This is the story they had to live with. So when you look at any recording of what they said, do you see deception?
So, yes, there are cues of deception. So there's body language. There are, you know, certain ways that they say things. They formulate their sentences very carefully to where they're not inferring other things, which I completely agree because, you know, we recovered a flying disc. You know, they said that that should be okay. Well, they put it out in the news that they've captured a flying saucer. You know, it's like, well, I wouldn't want the Air Force's job in conducting this investigation because, honestly, no matter what they came up with, people were going to complain. Somebody's going to come in and say that they didn't do a good job, they didn't do this, they didn't do that.
So her book is called Roswell, the After Action Report. Could it be the last word on Roswell, where our guest, Greg Lawson, does a forensic examination of much of the evidence, the testimony, to see where it leads us, if it leads us anywhere. And he'll be hanging around, by the way, for this weekend's episode of After the Paracast. More to come with Greg, Gene, Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The investigation continues into a fatal shooting on the set of a Hollywood movie in New Mexico a few days ago. Alec Baldwin, the actor who stars in Rust and is also producing the film, pulling the trigger that left the cinematographer dead and the movie's director seriously injured, though he has been released from a hospital, and they have released some 911 audio from the calls made right after the incident.
We made an ambulance out of Bonanza Creek Ranch right now. We
had two people shot on a movie set accidentally.
We know who Houston's Astros will face in the series.
They are celebrating on the field. They have dethroned the 106-win Dodgers. And for the first time since 1999, the Atlanta Braves are going to the Fall Classic.
That thanks to Major League Baseball, and this is USA Radio News. You may have heard Facebook is reportedly going to be changing its name and rebranding itself, and word is it could make the announcement as early as this upcoming week. The new name, reported to be a closely guarded secret within the company, and it will reflect Facebook's growing focus on creating what it calls virtual metaverse experiences. Experts say the new name could help Facebook as it attempts to broaden its business and repair its reputation after concerns about how it treats privacy issues and young people who use its Instagram app in particular. The search for a missing New Hampshire boy appears to have come to a tragic end as authorities have just announced they believe they have found the remains of 5-year-old Elijah Lewis. They've been searching for over a week, even though he was actually last seen 6 months ago. His mother and her boyfriend have been arrested on child endangerment and witness tampering charges. Those charges are likely to be upgraded now that the boy's remains have been found. And this is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Ming the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Okay, so we can dismiss that based on what you see. But looking at the testimony now of the people who say they witnessed something, how many of those piece of testimony do we have a video record of so you could look at body language or an audio record?
Right. Hardly any. You look at DeBose in his interview. Obviously, he's just an old man being honest. He's just telling his story about it, and this is what happened, and you just have to deal with it. And the funny thing about that is you have the Roswell report put out by the Air Force. It's almost 1,000 pages long, and not once do they mention this video. Not once do they mention DeBose's responsibility and his part in the press release. Not once. Now, in a couple of the interviews, other people mention his name, but once again, the investigators are not detracted by that. They're not distracted. They just charge right through the DeBose name and just keep along their line of questioning and don't get distracted. And that's the funny thing about when you look at this investigation is these Air Force men are never derailed. You know, they're asking some questions, some answers come back that would pose additional questions, but they never formulate additional questions. They will often formulate an additional statement to even answer the witness's question. I mean, it's overt. It's absolutely crazy. I'm sitting there looking at this going, wow, these guys knew intuitively exactly what happened, and they're not going to get distracted by it one bit. So either great intuition or they were told this is what it is and this is what you're going to formulate your decision based on.
Right, but I'm talking about the testimony in general.
Yeah.
From others. How can you evaluate what the witnesses to Roswell said if you have very few audio records and even fewer video records?
Well, you can't. And that's where, you know, when I came in to do this book, my forensic analysis is based on a lot of other persons' literary, the things that they actually published, and then the transcripts and statements that were actually, that actually came out of the Roswell report by the Air Force. And so there's some hoaxers out there that did some videos, and you can look and see some cues of deception. These investigators have wasted so much of their precious time on people that have taken them down rabbit trails that led nowhere. I always give the example of here in Austin, they had a the yogurt shop murders. Someone came in and killed four teenage girls and burned down the yogurt shop that they worked in. And when they conducted their investigation over the next few years, over 40 people came forward and admitted to doing it. How crazy, how sick, how twisted up do you have to be to go and admit that you killed four teenage girls and burned their bodies in a yogurt shop? That's insane, right? Why would people do that? Well, why would hundreds of people come forward and say that they saw a crashed spaceship, four aliens, you know, an alien autopsy, you know, a truck being transported that had a spaceship on the back of it, all kinds of things? I can't answer, you know, psychopathy when somebody just wants to be a part of some incident and they're going to just formulate a story so that their name can go in with it. But on the other hand, if you look like at a criminal episode and you're trying to indict a suspect for a crime, you need just a few pieces of key evidence to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt this person did this.
Right, but you still have the evidence of the crime. You have the dead body.
Right.
You have the missing items.
Right.
You have the list of missing items. There's other evidence other than testimony. Testimony right. may be only a small part of it. Here, all we have is testimony because we don't have the spaceship. We
exactly.
don't really know where it is if it exists. We right. don't. We can just speculate. We can look yep. at what people said. We just have what people say they saw. That's
right.
it.
And that's why I've had I had a conversation with Don Schmidt years ago, and we're talking about the difference between probable cause, reasonable suspicion, and, you know, consequences to whatever happens. And for probable cause and for beyond a reasonable doubt for a criminal case, I don't think we can make the criminal case of the fact that, you know, there's a spaceship that crashed at Roswell. We could make a civil case because that's based on preponderance of the evidence. So criminal case, put people in jail. Civil case, just get you money or concessions or something like that. So if they looked at this case, if a judge looked at this case as a civil case, it needs to be somewhere around, you know, 50% or so convinced that something happened. Well, if you have 700 citizens come forward and say, I don't have the spaceship, I don't have any physical evidence, I don't have any video evidence, nothing, but I saw it, you would have to rule in their favor. You would have to rule based on a preponderance of the evidence, and that evidence being eyewitness testimonial evidence that this incident occurred.
So, well, you can certainly say something happened.
Yes.
They saw something
yeah.
physical. There are a yeah. zillion different descriptions. At the end of the day, you don't know what it was.
Nope.
All you know is they saw it, but you also know that their testimony is severely compromised by the time, the interval, during which so many things happen in the UFO field, in sci-fi, in Star Trek, all the things that happened around them that influenced how they'd remember it. And how do we go back to the original? How do we trace back to the original event without this coloration?
You can't. And, you know, most of the event, 99% of that event happened and disappeared into a hole in the sky to never be recovered. It happened. Jesse Marcel got there. A little bit happened, you know. Brazel prior to that walked out there and found some stuff that happened. But everything else leading up to it and after and around it just disappears, right? You know, you look at, depending on whose research you're reading, whether there's 300 people interviewed, 700, 1,000, whatever, only about 30 of them actually would espouse that they saw the debris. And fewer than that talk about the memory metal and all that. And what you're talking about is memory transfer and malleability. So I have an example of, I used to hang out with this friend of mine in high school who had a red car in my head, red car. I can see the red car right now. 30 years later, I go back, we're talking about, the red car, and they're like, no, it wasn't red, it was blue. I'm like, no, it was red. And then they show me a picture of this blue car. In my mind, we rode around in a red car in high school. And it was not. It was a blue car. So I've experienced some malleability in my own recall memory. So I kind of understand that. The time compression, everybody experiences that. You know, you think it was only a couple of years ago. No, it was 15 years ago. It's like, what? That's crazy. I can't believe how long ago it was. So there are these psychological things that affect the way that we remember and recall that stuff. It's, you know, referred to as a Roswellian syndrome. It's, you know, the incident happens, the debunking happens, the submergence of the information, the mythological creativity of what happened, the reemergence of the information, and the media bandwagon gets a hold of it, and all that stuff gets thrown everywhere, and people are all listening to it and going, yeah, I think I was there at that time, and I remember this truck that drove through that had a tarp on the back of it. Kind of was shaped like a spaceship under there.
I'll tell you what this is shaped by, we'll never know. Greg, Gene, Tim, you're in.
The Paracast. You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text GOLD to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, that's Tim Schwartz on Helium, our guest co-host, with Greg Lawson. Wouldn't it be nice one time to do this show, and everybody's on Helium. Of course, we are all in different locations. Tim is back east. I'm in Arizona. You, Greg, you're in New Mexico?
I'm in Georgetown, Texas, just north of Austin.
You're in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, we can discuss Texas, but not on a full stomach. Anyway, I have nothing against Texas, okay, folks?
All right.
Nothing. I have relatives who used to live in Houston. I don't know if they do anymore. So we're not going to go into that. We're trying to figure out what really happened at Roswell, and we're trying to separate the stuff, like Jesse Marcel Jr., for example. He was on the Paracast two or three times. And he seemed like a sincere guy, but we're talking about a guy in his 60s or 70s remembering something that happened to him as a kid. That daddy brought this home. And that itself is illogical. If it was something really, really important, critical, national security, why would this guy even dare to take any of it and bring it to his home to show to his son?
Well, and that's a great question because it doesn't make sense, right? The thing I can say is a lot of times people's behavior does not make sense. And I would think that if I had a child at home and my wife, and I found some debris from what I believed was a spaceship, flying saucer or whatever you want to call it, and I was an intelligence officer, and I knew about, you know, chemicals and radiological type stuff. I don't know whether I would want to expose my family to this. Also, I would probably, at that time in 1947, I don't know whether or not they were very conscious of protecting themselves against radioactivity. We know from a lot of the bomb tests that a lot of these guys got exposed and died of that stuff because I don't think they thought it was as serious as what we know it to be today. So contemporarily, we would judge him going, oh, my God, what are you doing bringing this stuff home? In 1947, he might not have really thought about the contamination issue. Then you lead into, you know, the state security, the most important thing going on, you know, in the beginning of the Cold War. Would you want to expose your family to some sort of knowledge that maybe the Soviets would be looking into or whatever? And it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, if Jesse Marcel thought it was something so amazing, so incredible, to take it home and share it with his son and go, look, I want you to see this. This is amazing. We can't ever talk about this again. This is just between you and me, and it's a special time for, you know, father-son kind of thing.
Also, of course, they never thought of the War of the Worlds issue, which is microbes, alien microbes. Never thought about that. See, that's the flaw in the novel War of the Worlds from what in the 1890s from H.G. Wells. E.T. comes here. We can't defeat them, but they catch a cold. Right. Now, you think of something here. We have this race of beings advanced enough to go to Earth, prepare a battle plan to take us over, and may never for a second consider the possibility of catching a cold, alien microbes. And you think that's a logical fallacy in that book. Yeah. But today we would know that, and therefore it wouldn't happen today. And if we think about E.T., maybe that's not an issue because E.T. takes precautions. They care enough. They don't want to infect the local populace or to be infected by the local populace. But, yeah, there are issues about Roswell that kind of don't fit the logical test. That sound more to me like test something. Remember it over 30 years and, oh, here's a piece of a spaceship made of thin memory metal but still thick enough and hard enough to sustain a heavier-than-aircraft?
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to make sense.
Not much of it does, but it falls into also all this work done with implants. You know, there's a lot of these guys that run around and say, well, these people that get abducted get these implants, and they find these little pieces of metal or whatever inside people's bodies, and they talk about these alien implants. Well, you know, I was in the Navy between 1990 and 94, and we didn't need to put little implants in enemy aircraft. We track them in much different ways, probably in ways that are still classified. And if I, in 1991, can look at an aircraft that's flying, and based on the frequency of its engines, the squawk of its radio transmitters, and the speed in which it's traveling, I can actually identify the aircraft number and what country it comes from. Imagine what ET can do. They don't need to put little things in your body. They can just track you based on your own frequency that your body is giving off through your heartbeat, your respiration, and any kind of magnetic influences it might have, electrical influences it might have of its environment. So these little implants and stuff are just like, it's a little 1950s sci-fi there. We're way, way ahead of that.
See, that's the thing that bothers me also about abductions, which is why would they bring someone aboard a spaceship to do a physical exam? They could do it without really being invasive. I was thinking, for example, last week I had a heart monitor. I have some minor heartbeat issues. So they take this little monitor, and the darn thing is about an inch square, about a quarter inch thick, and they take some tape and they stick it to your chest. Now, I could think that E.T. could do something because they're so far advanced, they can come here from another star system. That would be totally non-invasive. Monitor you, get all your health readings without having to do a physical exam. That to me is a cultural memory of something. But anyway, we're talking about Roswell. And we're trying to figure out what really happened.
This is that freaking, you know, those rabbit holes. It's like, man, you start doing this stuff and all of a sudden you're completely consumed by all the theory.
Well, that's one of the things, though, that has me questioning the whole immediate assumption that we may be dealing with, an extraterrestrial spaceship. Because you have to consider this happened in 1947. We've been steeped, 2021, we've been steeped in the whole idea of, life on other planets, flying saucers, or UFOs could be extraterrestrial spacecraft. 1947, not so much. I mean, and I know that at the time, if there had been something unusual crash near an Air Force base, the first assumptions, I think, wouldn't be spaceship from another planet, but something from the Soviet Union or even the Nazis. You know, you're not too far away from the end of World War II there. So, I mean, you have these people saying, oh, yeah, you know, immediately, you know, extraterrestrial spacecraft and all that.
Well, yeah, and you had Operation Paperclip going on, which, you know, when the Soviets and the United States went into Germany and split everything up, everybody was fighting over the German technology the Soviets abducted, relocated a ton of Nazi scientists, and we relocated a ton of Nazi scientists, brought them into the United States and treated them wonderfully, paid them very well to go in and continue their Nazi research here in the United States. So you have all kinds of craziness going on, as the Air Force would say. And to even track this stuff is just, yeah, it's beyond one person's coping capacity. Let's put it that way.
I was waiting there for Tim to say that. Let me just go into it here. Okay.
I thought maybe your heart monitor.
I wanted to go into a few things here. Okay, we're going into the memory metal and the visible artifact that may or may not have related to Roswell, or the memory of what it really was being heavily distorted by the many years between the time the episode occurred and it was recalled and became memory metal. Maybe it wasn't memory metal when it really happened, but it became memory metal. So let's just grant that maybe that's what it was. What about the bodies? And the reason I bring that up is that Kevin Randall's latest interpretation, which he did for this book on Roswell in the 21st century, is that some people do remember the beings, but he couldn't get a consistent story about it to say whether or not they really saw anyone there in right. connection with the crash. More to come with Greg, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
What they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.